Living and Dying with Honor Bible Study Lesson Number 95, which is also Obedience to God and Man Bible Study Lesson Number 7, a special coming out of the series. We're dealing with the doctrine of personality. You must come to understand the laws of divine establishments for temporal living. You must understand the concepts of personality and individuality and what God has designed. Or you will become a part of the robot system. Our pre-cultural concepts of existence from the fall of, shortly after the fall of Adam, 130 years after the fall of Adam, Cain murdered Abel. The way of Cain, 129 years I should say, Cain, the way of Cain, went out and established a kingdom separated from God. This kingdom is crowned Satan as the prince of powers outside of the kingdom for this world. That's not necessarily that he crowned him directly by knowing what he was doing, but he crowned him king by separating himself from God and all that was God and placing himself under the darkest kingdom. The satanic world system, the kinetic system, was destroyed at the flood, but was restored to the children of Ham. So it influenced the entire world, the children of Japheth and the children of Shem. The sentence I'm saying, outside the spiritual line, a continued decline nation concept, a spiritual kingdom concept. Decline nation appeared in the Melchizedek, days of Abraham. Israel came in as a priest nation. God has had his spiritual testimony, his spiritual weakness, but there appears that there have been the dark ages of history. When light was almost completely lost in cosmic darkness. One of those times was the Maccabean period, just before the destruction of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first advent. Following the prophecies of Malachi, we enter into what is known as the silent years. In the Apocrypha, you can read the Maccabean books, but as I have taught very clearly in the series related to Paul in the book of Acts, in the Ephesians supplementary series we did a number of years ago, the Maccabean kingdom, in which they tried to add the priesthood and the kingship, a line of Levi and a line of Judas, blessings from God into one under a Levite, and their connection to the pagan system, the governments of this world, created the problem of politically the fortunes of the Palestinian Jews, followed with one exception, the Maccabean revolt, the history of the Gentile world empires, as foretold and fulfilled by Daniel in Daniel 2:7. The Persian rule continued for about 100 years after the close of the Old Testament canon of Scripture. And apparently it was mild and tolerant, allowing the high priest along with his religious functions to measure civil power by the overlordship of the governors of Syria. The sources of the history of the Jewish remnant during the Persian period were purely legendary. When Josephus wrote during the period of the rival worship of Samaria was established according to John 4:19 and 20, along with historical data on it, Palestine suffered much from the constant wars between Persia and Egypt, lying as it did between the anvil and the hammer. 333 B.C. Syria fell on the power of the Third World Powers, the Greco-Macedonian of Alexander. The conqueror Josephus released was induced to treat the Jews with much favor. But when building up his empire, Judea again fell between the hammer and the anvil of Syria and Egypt. Falling first in the power of Syria, later in Egypt, is ruled by the Ptolemaic kings. From 320 to 198 B.C., the great number of Jews were established in Egypt and the Septuagint translation occurred. 198 B.C., Antiochus the Great annexed to Syria. After conquering Judah, he annexed it to Syria. This was a period of dark ages for Israel. Had the dark ages in Europe. Until spiritual enlightenment came from under Luther and Calvin and others. Individuality is to be understood in the balance that God has between creation law, physical body law, psychological law, and the primary law of the law of the individual, the law of marriage, the law of family, the law of national government. To understand the law of individuality, we first have to understand the doctrine of personality, having dealt with the doctrine of the human body, where we have to bring us into the system. Alright, before we begin, we'll pause for a solid prayer to give you time to make sure you're in the fellow of the Spirit and up with objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return, Lord, but accomplish all you designed it for. Bless your sanctified and blessed name, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31, verse 1. I don't have no problem teaching these classes here. I took a couple of days off from teaching to rest my throat. This is October 29th. Now, see what we can do. We just ask God to keep us going one day at a time. Alright, we're dealing with, today we're going to start with the doctrine of Laban's personality. Laban's personality. You may not realize, but Laban comes on the scene as an important person in human history through Scripture. Without Scripture, we would not know this. In Genesis chapter 11, I should have told you to turn the whole place here and turn to Genesis 11 for just a minute. God had told Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. But Abraham had chosen to leave, but to go with his family. He was involved in pagan moon worship. And I go yet where God wanted to, so there was partial obedience from Abraham at the beginning. The Ur of the Chaldees was a wealthy populous, a sophisticated pagan center of southern Mesopotamia, 220 miles southeast of Baghdad. His most prosperous and learned era was during the time of Abraham. They built a great river out there, and Abraham had to have seen it during his time. It was a time when paganism came into being. And a great river in the name God is painted, and that began, of course, with Nimrod and Sodomus' wife at Babylon. These are the records of the generation, verse 27, chapter 11. Now these are the records of generation of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Noah, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot, and Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of the birth and Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Noah took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Noah's wife was Milcah. The daughter of Ham, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Alright. Noah married his first cousin. Abraham went over there for the Scripture and married his half sister. Verse 30, and Sarah was barren, she had no child, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, Abram's wife, and they went out together from Aram to the Chaldees, and out into the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran, and settled there. And there was a Terah returned 5 years, and Terah died in Haran. So until Abraham had settled down, or Abram as he was in the world, had settled down in Haran, when the call was given to him, there was reiterated to him by God. God had called Abraham when he was in Arach 7, 2, and 3. The two routes to Cana were available to run across the Arabian Desert, impossible for transporting large herds, and the other line the Euphrates to Hara in Syria, then down the Thin, and Muhammad got as far as Hara in Syria. That was as far as he had gone. We got the car to move on, and he had moved on. Right, now we see the relationship line, and we'll see Laban. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that my father, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. Jacob was getting ready to leave. He has been in exile. He had worked for his father-in-law. Laban is his father-in-law. He had been abused by his father-in-law, and he had got his best Jacob with prosperity, even though Jacob was in spiritual conversion, and not walking with the Lord at all. In fact, he had said, as God got him safely back to the land, he would not walk with God. They had first given the hospitality to Jacob. In Genesis 24:29, when the servant went looking for a bride for Isaac, in verse 24, he said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. In verse 29, Rebekah had a brother, his name was Laban, and Laban went out unto the man unto the well. All right, Laban is introduced to us in Scripture showing hospitality in Genesis 24:29. Then in Genesis 29, he gives Jacob his two daughters, but he deceives Jacob. He enters and oppresses him in Genesis 30:27-31:1. And this brings us down to understanding Laban. All right, let's look at a personality example. Laban. Now get this down carefully, he is Laban, the Semitic Gentile. Laban, the Semitic Gentile's personality is what we're going to study here. We're going to use some examples here. We're going to start. It's a phrase in the doctrine of personality examples, and the first one is Laban. A Semitic Gentile. Subpart 1. Laban is the son of Nahor. Esau. and had children. By both wives and two concubines and his slave wives. In Genesis 31:1, we read the American story that Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken a wife that our father, that was our father's, and from what belonged to our fathers he has made all the wealth. Jacob heard Laban's sons complaining that Jacob had taken away all that was our father's. He has acquired all this wealth and honor that belonged to our father. They say that Jacob's present was an expression of their personality. They say this in the presence of Jacob, said Ben. And they say this in the presence of Jacob, was an expression of their personality. They let Jacob know that they resent him, and they resent the prosperity that God has given to him. Me. Jacob had worked out a deal with Laban and had profited from it. And Laban's sons were jealous. Verse 2, and Jacob saw the attitude of Laban and beheld it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Because Laban became openly hostile to Jacob, God will tell him to return to Canaan. Jacob's wives and that secretly with him in the field. We'll see in verse 4 and read that this was the best plan. Whether they were convinced that this was God's leading, or merely the only way to ensure receiving an inheritance for themselves and their children, it's hard to know. In verse 4 we read, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flocks in the field. His concubines, slave wives, of course, had no choice in the matter. Verse 16, surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children now. Do whatever God has said to you. So, we can leave it up to Jacob. They're prepared to follow him. Alright, so Jacob noticed the kindness of Laban, but Laban has changed. Notice that he looked at him less favorably than before and how he relates to him. Alright, point two. Countenance, attitude in the King James is panache, P-A-N-E-H, the face and expression of personality. In the presence of someone's personality, a person, you can't divorce the person from the personality. Countenance is panache, P-A-N-E-H. Subpoint A, the face is an expression of the personality. The face is an expression of the personality. Being in the presence of someone's personality or person, you cannot divorce the person from the personality. Point three, Laban had his own way of showing disfavor. And while someone else may not have understood it, Jacob saw it expressed upon Laban's face. Laban's nature of corruption hooked up with his personality, and he manifested anger toward Jacob. Principle, there are many ways of showing anger. Jacob saw it through Laban's actions. Five, Laban listened to the jealous slander of his sons and took sides against his son-in-law Jacob. It was not so much what he said to Jacob, but what he did. I'm sorry. My apologies. I have a sharp weather change out here. Point six. It is the personality of some people when they're angry to blow up and sound off. That's basically my personality. But some people get quiet and withdrawn. That's my wife's personality, which is the personality of my father-in-law. Possibly some people can smile when they're angry. Some people cannot. Something that AJ can be able to knew something was wrong. But it was not just something he saw in Laban's face, but in the way the personality manifested itself. Look at verse 5. In verse 10, verse 11, the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. And so Jacob sent and called Rachel over to his flocks and fell. He said to them, I see your father's attitude that it is not friendly toward me as friendly. The God of my fathers has been with me. He goes on to explain things to them. But the issue was in his the attitude, as the New American Standard Translation. Verse 7. Laban became irritated at Jacob and expressed it in a unique way. We don't really know what it was, but it was a unique way. First of all, actions speak louder than words. I had a man that I knew for many years with the Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to seeing him in heaven one day. Over a period of years, the man and I did a number of things together, including involvement in Christian ministry. Don't try to guess who it is. There's been a lot of people I've been involved with over the years. Another pastor once told me that this pastor said, I love John, but I don't like him, and I don't want to be around him anymore. Paraphrasing after a number of years now. Man hung up the phone in my face the last time I ever spoke to him on the phone. Slammed the phone down in my face. After saying, don't ever call me, I'll call you. Never did. Amazing thing. You understand, people do that, even believers do that. People burn bridges. We've had a number of Christians burn bridges from us over the years. We had Christians who burned bridges and then they came back. The Lord opened doors and touched their heart and they came back. Laban's prepared to burn his bridges with Jacob. And God speaks to Jacob. Verse 3, when the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. Notice Jacob calls it, but the God of my father has been with me, and you know that I have served your father with all my strength. And your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, only God did not allow him to hurt me. Notice he recognizes he's been preserved by God. If he spoke thus, speckles shall be your wages, and all the flock brought for a speckle. If he spoke thus, the stripe shall be your wages, and all the flock brought for a stripe. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. It came about at the time when the flock was mating, and I lifted up my eyes and saw a dream behind the male goats which were mating with stripes, speckled and noted. The angel of God said unto me in a dream, Jacob, I said, here now, and he said, lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped. Spread and melted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where you made a vow to me, and I arise, leave this man and return to the land of your birth. And Rachel and Leah answered him and said, do we still have any portion of inheritance in our father's house? For we are reckoned by him as farmers, for he has sold us, and is also entirely consumed our purchase price. Should all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children now, then do whatever God said to you. Then Jacob arose and put his children, his wives, and camels. which he had gathered his acquired livestock, which he had gathered in Paran, to go to the land of Cana, to his father's Isaac. When they had gone to shear the flock, then Rachel stole the household idols, which were her father's. Notice Rachel was an idol worshiper. In the Hebrew, we have Teraphim, T-E-R-A-P-H-I-N, which Rachel stole and hid in her saddle. This later did the research for the small figurines of female deities. Sarah suggested that in Moses why Rachel felt it necessary to have them. When they were supposed to guarantee fertility, too, they guaranteed Jacob's right to Laban's estate when he died. Though this claim may have been weakened because Laban had not voluntarily given them. Three, they were still in some sense Rachel's gods on which she depended for religious and divination purposes. Undoubtedly, Rachel was not saved at this point. She became saved, but she was not saved. It may well be that Leah was already a believer. That would be tempting as soon as she understood what it was all about through Jacob, when Jacob got himself spiritually correct with God. Because this to Leah, the Lord of Christ came, and God was silent to make sure that Leah was Jacob's first wife and not Rachel. I taught this before. Rachel was not the right woman of Jacob, Leah was. It is the way that the line of Christ comes. The line of God sure is rocking Rachel some of the idols. So their father, Jacob, deceived Laban the Adam by not telling him he was free. So he fled with all he had. He arose and crossed the Euphrates River and set his face toward the little country of Gilead. Instead of Laban, on the third day that Jacob had fled, and he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him a distance of 7 days' journey, and overtook him in the little country of Gilead. And God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream of the night and said to him, be careful that you do not speak to Jacob either good or bad. And Laban caught up with Jacob. Now Laban had pitched his tents in the hill country. And Laban with his kinsmen camped in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughter like captives of the sword? Why have you faced secretly and deceived me and did not tell me? So I will set you away with joy and with sorrow and with trembling and with lyre. And I allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done this foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. The other part of the first Laban speaking to Jacob about returning to Haran, all about any claims Laban made up that he had to Jacob possessions or family. And now you have indeed gone away and because you longed greatly for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods? And Jacob answered said to Laban, because I was afraid for you, for I said, lest you would take your daughters from me by force. Whoever whom you find, your God shall not live in the presence of our kinsmen. Pour out what is yours among my belongings and take it for yourself, for Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and Leah's tent and the tent of two ladies, but he did not find them, and he went to Leah's tent. Now Leah's tent and Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household items and put them in the tent of Sodom, and she set on them. And Laban fell through all the tent, but did not find him. And she said, dear father, let not my Lord be angry that I cannot rise before you for the matter of the woman is upon me. So he searched, but did not find the idol. She told him, it was customary for children in that part of the world at that time, regardless of age, to stand in the presence of the parent, Leviticus 19:32 and 1 Kings 3:19. But Rachel claimed to be ministrating, and so did not stand up, claiming she was going through a menstrual cycle. We see in Laban a personality that would probably have led Jacob correctly believed and would write to the seizing of all the property, driving Jacob out with nothing if not killing Jacob, taking Jacob's wife back into his own household. We had to note that Laban's personality was seen in his countenance and his actions. We shall now look at Cain's personality from the Genesis 4 or 5. And for Cain and for his offering he had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. giants. Again, we have Paneah, P-A-N-E-H. Look up in the nature of corruption, the personality which is expressed on the face. This shows the relationship of the nature of corruption to the face. Romans 6:6. Time will introduce the nature of corruption to you again. The American Standard Translation says, knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with. That we should be no longer slaves to sin. The old self is the person, the nature of corruption called the flesh, the old man. It's made over by reason of the presence of the new life in Christ. It's made ineffective or impotent, as in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 teaches, but it still exists in the believer. It still exists in the believer. And we need to understand this nature of corruption. That the old man was crucified, and that our body of sin might be made powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. King James Translation. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in the course with the lust of deceit. Colossians 3:9. The old man refers to the innocent nature of the flesh, the story of the soul. I have to look at two basic areas of it. The area of strength. The inner strength is a characteristic that produces human good, which is relative good and unacceptable to God, Isaiah 64:6. All the righteous deeds are like filthy rags, and only Jews menstrual rag. God rejected human good on the cross, but Christ did not die for human good. Human good will be dealt with at the white throne judgment for the unbeliever, and will be the basis of his condemnation, because this is his substitute for his salvation. But the believer will be burned up, 1 Corinthians 3. That's the judgment seat of Christ Bema. The inner strength that produces our tendencies toward asceticism, religious law-keeping, where we try to earn favor from God by doing good works that we are, if not through religious law-keeping, religious degeneracy, through moral degeneracy, in which we try to do good works for society in general, and live a moral life according to the mores of society in which we live at any given point of time. Human good has a strength there in the moral degeneracy, is based upon situation ethics to a point. The area takes true good, which comes from God, agathos, divine good, and true righteousness. Similarly, our adjustment to the justice of God, to righteousness, and distorts them into human good and self-righteousness. Our anger has an inner weakness. The characteristic produces all personal sins. These sins are distorted. An outright rebellion against God. This, of course, also is unacceptable to God. Christ bore our sins on the cross. He paid for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeping us from all sin, cleanses us from all sin, literally keeps on cleansing us. The inner weakness produces inclination toward lasciviousness, irreligious law-breaking, and leads into inner one of the areas that you must understand that sin can come out of immoral degeneracy. turn the grace of God into lasciviousness or moral degeneracy, in which Romans chapter 2 verses 1 to 13, where we sit around and piously condemn the immoral degenerate and our own self-righteousness, or religious degeneracy, where we condemn both the moral degenerate, see, and the moral degeneracy, saying, after all, we've got something related to God. The remainder of Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, the comparison between the religious Jew, the moral Gentile, and the immoral Gentile. We're aware of lust patterns. These characteristics produce lust for power lust, ego lust, sexual lust, material lust, approbation lust. Approbation lust is where we seek the approval of other people. Any lust trend is a distortion of legitimate God-given desires that form patterns in our soul, motivating a distorted lifestyle. Any lifestyle not based for the believer upon the filling of the Spirit and the application of Bible doctrine is incorrect lifestyle. We're to be consistently filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and we're to walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, applying Bible doctrine to every situation in life, Matthew 4:4. Now shall I love my brother only by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word of God teaches that the nature of corruption is positionally, totally depraved. There is no good in the nature of corruption. Human good is unacceptable to God. Romans 8:8 makes that very, very clear to the believer. And those who are in the flesh, those that are walking in carnality, cannot please God. God will accept nothing from this. Everything that comes out of the nature of corruption is unacceptable. So-called good deeds. We're operating in a system of government today. We're in jurisprudence law. People are being sentenced to do community service. Human good. Putting people into a system of human good works to make retribution for their crimes. Man is always trying to whitewash the devil's world some way and create some kind of a system without facing the legitimacy of justice. This is why we're in the position seen in Amos 5, where Amos talked to the people who prophesied and preached there. Hail to the Lord, God, establish judgment and justice in the courts of God, might have mercy upon the remnant of Jacob. They said the prudent man has to keep silent when there is no justice in the land. And that's where we're at today. And both the believer and the unbeliever, the body is controlled by the human soul. The believer's soul is either under the control of the nature of corruption or under the control of the Holy Spirit at a given point in time. When the believer is filled with the Spirit, then he is influenced from his human spirit. When he is modest, filled with the Spirit and carnality, he is like the unbeliever, he is influenced by his nature of corruption. Either the human spirit or the nature of corruption is in control of your life and my life at any given point of time. The unbeliever's soul is always subject to the nature of corruption, i.e. the old sin nature, the old man, the flesh, because his human spirit is dead. He has not been born again. He has no spiritual life. All right, let's look at Cain with that background then. Point one. Again, the word countenance, Hebrew panah, B-A-N-E-H, expresses the way in which Cain dealt with problems. Two. You might ask the question, why do some people get bad and blow up, while others simply get disgusted or irritated? Others withdraw and enter into denial, and others simply laugh it off. All right, you've got the group who blows up. You've got the group who get disgusted and irritated. You get the group who withdraw into the denial, withdraw into denial, and you got the ones who wipe it off. What's the issue? The principle of personality and the nature of corruption hookup determine how we respond negatively when we're under control of our own sin nature. Point three. Cain was a potter type personality, among other things. A, he expressed his displeasure with God. B, he has his own way to do it. Point four. P-A-N-A-H, deals with more than a look on the face. It deals with the overt manifestations of a personality. Look at 1 Samuel 16:12. Son brought him that he was ready with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Point five. Are you lying? Refers to more than overt beauty. Refers more to overt beauty than the personality. Look at 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We have also Marah, M-A-R-E-H. This also referring to outward looks of beauty and more than personality. 1 Samuel 25:3. His wife's name was Abigail, and the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings. And he was a Carmelite. Nabal means fool, and his manner of conducting himself indicates his name was appropriate. I like the word Tor, T-O-A-R. Also refers to more overt looks and personality. Alright, so in point five, you've got the three Hebrew words referring to the outward appearance, Ayin, A-Y-I-N, 1 Samuel 16:12, Marah, M-A-R-E-H, 1 Samuel 16:7, and Tor, T-O-A-R, 1 Samuel 25:3. Point six. In both Laban and Cain's cases, personality hooks up with the natures of corruption and manifested sin in each personality in a unique way. And in this case, the one of Cain, the personality is distorted and used by the nature of corruption to manifest sin. Or B, personality does not sin, but can be used to express sin. Examples. Personality can take turning a social drink into drunkenness. Personality can turn affection into lust, and a frantic and inveterate search for happiness. All right. Point seven. The personality can and must hook up with the human spirit and doctrine for the believer to enjoy the most spiritual blessings. The personality must hook up with the human spirit and vital doctrine for the believer to enjoy the most spiritual blessings. Psalm 42:1, why you cast down with our soul, and why should you mourn over me and be disquieted within me? To take on a concept of groom because others serve as a thing to do or to allow depression to motivate. What it means there. Why should you mourn over me and be disquieted within me means to take the concept of groom because others serve as a thing to do or to allow depression to motivate. Why should you mourn over me and be disquieted within me? Have confidence in God. In other words, we're to trust the Father's provisions and wait expectantly for Him, for I shall yet praise Him who is the help of my countenance and my God. That's the Amplified Old Testament translation. Alright, so point A, health is Y-E-S-H-U-W-E-H. Yahshua, the name Joshua, meaning deliverance or salvation. Health is Joshua, Y-S-H-U-W-H, name of Joshua, meaning deliverance or salvation. And it's sometimes used for being saved from sin, other times being delivered from an oppressed power. B, Kairos is our word we've been looking at, P-A-N-E-H, the personality delivered from the oppressive power of the nature of corruption. Personality delivered from the oppressive power of the nature of corruption. Principle. It reflects here a personality that is free to be their own self and let others be their own self. C. The Spirit is the delivery of our personality as we adjust to the justice of God the Father. The Spirit is the river of our personality to adjust to the justice of God the Father through Christ. Old Testament believers looking forward to the coming Messiah, we looking back on the Messiah. Principle. The Father removes the oppressive influence of the nature of corruption through the work of the Spirit in the believer. When the believer submits to the Father's policies, the Father removes the oppressive influence and nature of corruption temporarily, I should say, through the work of the Spirit when we submit to the Father's policies. Alright. Personality. The doctrine of personality is a slave to essence. The doctrine of personality is a slave to essence. Point one. The personality traits are slaves to the mentality of the soul. Proverbs 15:13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. I'm sorry, that's Proverbs 16. Looked at the wrong side of the turn of my Bible. Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Sad thoughts can crush the spirit. The King James translation reads, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but a sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The merry heart is the merry right lobe, the happiness spectrum. which can be tranquility, as we've taught you, on one side, or statics on the other, but usually is a balanced inner happiness in between for the believer in the dispensation of the grace of God the Father, in which we live. It comes out through the filling of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is nine manifestations: love, joy, peace. One fruit, nine manifestations: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All right, the merry heart, the merry right lobe, is the one operating in the happiness spectrum. Makes for a cheerful callus. The expression of happiness in the personality. There's optimism toward doctrine. Alright, subpoint one. Alright, point one. The personality traits are slaves to the mentality of the soul. Proverbs 15:30, I'm sorry. Point A. Happiness in the heart, the right bank of the soul. Happiness, or the happiness spectrum, may be in tranquility in time of sorrow, or it may be in ecstatics, or it may be the balance in between. A merry right lobe of the soul and the heart. The result of the happiness spectrum makes a cheerful countenance on the face. B, the expression of happiness in the personality. C, there's optimism toward Bible doctrine in the soul of the believer. D, there are many ways to express happiness. Each person has his own way. E, but by sorrow of the right lobe, that's the misery spectrum, the spirit is broken. We have Ruach, R-E-W-C-H in the Hebrew. The seat of senses and affections are affinities. Part that directs personality. Broken is Nakai, a.k.a. meaning to be afflicted or sad, to be controlled by a melancholy spirit with emphasis on the negative things, taking pessimism too far. Alright, so get that down in spirit, Ruach, R-E-W-C-H, and Hebrew is a seat of senses and affections or affinities. It's that which directs personality. Two, broken is Nakai, a.k.a. to be affected or sad, that's subpoint two. Subpoint three, to be controlled by a melancholy spirit with emphasis on negative things, taking pessimism too far. The principle, the persons with the blues, other words, sorrow on the right lobe of the soul, that is a believer, is pessimistic toward the value of Bible doctrine. Point two, the right lobe of the soul, the heart, its essence is the command of the personality. Three, either the happiness spectrum or the misery spectrum has input in the control of the personality. Four, filling of the spirit produces plus H, plus happiness, the happiness spectrum. Carnality produces the misery spectrum. Now you say that people can be happy. Ecclesiastes teaches that the unbeliever can find neutral happiness. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with thy wife, whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, and thy vanity, thy emptiness, which thou hast given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, that's thy emptiness, for that is thy portionless life, thy labor, which thou hast taken under the sun. The unbeliever can have neutral happiness, but he can never have the full inner happiness of the soul. This is Zion for the believer. Point five. When the soul's essence is controlled by the nature of corruption, your personality as the basis of Christian liberty is under attack. When the soul essences control the nature of corruption, your personality, as the basis for Christian liberty, is under attack. The principal expression of happiness or misery is affected. Point 6. Every personality trait is subject to the scrutiny of the Word of God. Seven, the mentality must decide whether it's necessary to manifest it or not at any given point of time. Any bona fide personality trait may reflect sin. Example, to say I will not give the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone because I am an introvert is sin. Or to use a bona fide trait affinity toward pessimism to reject truth. Point 9. Wisdom must control the manifestation of our personality traits. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Wisdom, that's Bible doctrine, must control the manifestation of our personality traits. Subpoint 8. Wisdom to understand the principles involved in an issue as well as the exceptions to the principle and then choose the essential thing. B. What we eat and drink is reflected through personality traits. Personal there are times when it is wrong to manifest a personality trait under the law of love. Romans 14:16-21. The Royal Family Honor Code, Romans 14:16-21. And we're not going to have time to read that. You're going to have to read that for yourself. We're almost out of time, and I want to get in the last point on this second, this point, doctrine. 10. True happiness will manifest itself in the personality, both through restraint and expression of personality traits. True happiness will manifest itself in the personality, both through restraint and expression of personality traits. Principle. The filling of the Spirit utilizes mentality to apply Bible doctrine to keep the human spirit in control of the soul and not the nature of corruption. Subpoint A, restrain those that might be offensive to some and manifest those which are not offensive. We have to restrain personality traits at times that are offensive to some and manifest those which are not offensive. B, in Romans 14, the Royal Family Honor Code, the happiness is not in expressing personality traits, eating meat and drinking wine, but in the Word of God and the mentality of the soul. See, when you're feeling pessimistic, be aware that you may not know everything and that optimistic principles may exist. Pessimism recognizes how far America has gone down the tube or hill of spiritual degeneracy in the last 50 years. And yet all these things must come to pass, and what happens? Look up, blessed, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be not afraid, all these things must come to pass, historical trends of history. When we're looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Optimistic doctrine tells us that we're not living for this world, we're living for the eternal values of the eternal state. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise that will not return void. Help us what you designed it for. In Christ's name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.